Hello, hi, and welcome to Ray Zambino is Finished, a podcast about Finnish culture, like real Finnish culture, not just about sauna or drinking or holes in the ice, but actual Finnish culture, the things that Finns care about, that they love, that they remember, that they hope they could forget, just all sorts of things to do with Finnish culture. Today, we have an excellent guest, a stand-up comedian, an author, a person.
barely.
Yeah. It depends on the time of day.
Yeah.
But it's the amazing Inka Valima. Hello.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Thank you for being here. First of all, before we get into the thing we're going to talk about today, let's just talk about you for a little bit. So I know
amazing,
you.
My favorite subject.
Everybody's favorite subject.
Yes.
We're all talking about it when you're not here.
Lovely.
Yeah, we just talk.
I'm not even thinking like that's a bad thing or
no,
you're talking
no.
bad about me. I'm
Why
just like
we?
You're just talking about how a fucking amazing how amazing I am. Like
yeah.
all the time behind my back.
You can swear on this podcast.
Yes, great.
All you want. you can say cunt if you want to.
Oh, that's a bad one.
You can say wank.
are you gonna say all the bad words?
Yeah, this is
the podcast.
Yeah, it's actually it's a covert dictionary podcast.
Okay, cool.
It's about Anglo-Saxon words. That's a etymology joke.
Yes.
For anyone listening. sorry. Don't go off it. Don't start on a tangent. That's not a good thing to do. Don't start by going off script. That's podcast 101.
Sounds boring.
Yeah. It does. But you're also a podcaster. You've had a podcast.
I've had several, yeah.
You've had several podcasts.
Yeah.
What podcasts have you had?
Well, Kiintiökoomikot, which I did with comedian Eve Kulmala years ago.
Okay.
Then I had Bimbofikaatio, which I had with Taika Mannila for 2 seasons. And that was like a real job. It was just not 2 girls. Talking for fun. It was actual job, and I'm really strict about that. And then I had Can I Finish with Travis?
Travis being producer Travis.
Yeah.
Producer T.
Hello, in the room.
PT.
Yeah. I've stepped behind the mic so I can just observe how Inka does without me dragging
Poorly.
Her down. See her in her natural state where she's very good and not being held down by my bad anecdotes.
No, I just visited other podcasts.
Okay.
Now I'm terribly sorry if I forget my own podcast that I did with someone. Forgive me. This is like an Oscar speech. I'm forgetting my like family.
Mm-hmm. Like to thank God.
yeah, I did a podcast with him.
Oh, what was that called?
hey, for some reason I put a he pronoun on God. Why? Oh, the podcast could be named On God.
Yeah, it's a confessional podcast.
Yeah.
Like a sort of like the things that you do, like that you feel. It's basically confession.
Yeah.
Like as if you were a Catholic. It's a Catholic podcast where you talk about gossip.
Yes. And I tell some gossip and
yeah,
God
you.
Is like, On God.
On me. And then they forgive you.
Yeah.
I also gendered God as he and then changed it. So you can cut out when I said he and I look more woke. I win.
And that's a point for you.
Yeah. 1 point to me.
Yeah. See, -10 for me.
Yeah.
For being a bad feminist.
Bad feminist. It doesn't matter. So I was just going to mention there's a podcast I think called Bad Feminist and it's a very good podcast. You should check it out. Anyway. There's the Guilty Feminist also. We're just naming podcasts.
Please stop plugging other podcasts
are you
on this podcast.
Oh, sorry.
Good, are you naming like woke podcasts so you can get another point?
I am, yes, absolutely. Only women-run podcasts.
Good for you.
Don't listen to them.
you're aware of them?
Yeah, it's like their voices, they just hurt my head.
Yeah.
But
nagging and stuff.
Yeah. The nag cast. You've done a lot of stuff, and I know you through your stand-up work.
Yeah. And I know you from stand-up as well.
Yes.
This, we are mutuals in stand-up.
We are colleagues.
Yes, as they call it.
But yeah, we work at the same place.
We're on the same field.
Yeah, we're work friends.
It's a field right outside of town.
Yeah. You just often go there and reminisce. Because you're outstanding in your field. But nothing,
nice,
right?
Nice.
Okay.
Fine. It was a joke. I got it.
But I got nothing. You have this book out now, available in all good bookstores.
Yes.
And bad ones, I'm sure.
And some secondhand bookstores probably already.
Yeah.
And
Fida.
Also these sale boxes and stuff like that. Yeah.
Like Fida and Kiritos Keskos. Yeah. You could
absolutely
pick them up.
Yeah.
50 cents or more.
Probably.
No, but it's great. And I believe it got a really good reception.
Yeah, it
like
did.
People
yeah,
really
we
liked
were
it.
In. People liked it. Some have hated it, which is normal and good. I also like encourage people to have different opinions. I think people have liked it, and we also got some press from it, and it was great.
So for anyone that's not seen or heard about the book, what is it called?
Bimbofikatio.
Which is
bimbofication. Yes.
And what's that about then?
It's about, how we perceive feminine aspects and women in our society. For example, how did we look at the women in the 90s that were on public eye, and how did we treat them, and how does that look now in this year and age?
For probably example, not well, right?
No, spoiler alert, not well.
Yeah, did not age very gracefully.
Yeah.
This thing of your book leads us on nicely to what we want to talk about today.
Yeah.
I think the idea of feminism, of how women are perceived in the public field, and the way that people think about women and what they know, leads in. So what are we talking about today?
I really wanted to talk about this short film called Helsinki Mansplaining Massacre.
The Helsinki Mansplaining Massacre is a short film.
Yeah.
Just 15 minutes long. I have discovered, I have seen it previously.
Yeah,
I've already
great.
Seen it. But if you want to maybe give a little introduction to where did you see it? How did you feel when you watched it? What was your first initial thoughts when you seen it?
I'm a big horror fan.
Okay.
And I'm visited years this Finnish Helsinki-based horror film festival called Night Visions, and I was watching a movie there, and as a surprise, the Helsinki Mansplaining Massacre were shown as a pre-film to that other film, and I really fell in love with it, and also it's a good example of how I think horror as a genre and also Finnish film industry is developing into this interesting
direction,
yeah, to an interesting path, because I think we are letting go of the how Finnish films are supposed to look like,
okay,
and we're leaning more into the weirdness and the macabre that the Finnish mindset has.
Amazing.
And it melts into the horror genre really nicely.
So what, for anyone that's unaware, what are Finnish films, quote-unquote, supposed to look like?
Well, these serious dramas with male lead who is probably nude at some point.
Okay.
And with an axe in the snow, and some serious topics, alcoholism and beating up your family. Those are
the main.
That is the Finnish movies in a box. It's that. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But we are moving away from that.
Well, there is some signs that we could be moving away from it.
Okay, great.
Because now there is, in a short period of time, there's been interesting films. And there is other aspects in Finnish culture that celebrates the weirdness that we have.
What other What are there any notable films that you care to mention? Like, actually, the person that directed Helsinki Mansplaining Massacre also wrote Hatching.
Yeah, Pahanhautoja in Finnish. And that's been like celebrated in some film festivals and stuff like that.
Yes, it's done very well internationally, yeah.
And that's another example of that.
Yeah. But like Helsinki Mansplaining Massacre, I guess we should quickly go over the plot.
Sure.
A couple, their car breaks down in a forest, because we're in Finland, so forest.
Obviously.
You have to get lost in
a forest.
But
no snow.
No snow.
Do you remember snow?
I don't remember any snow. There is no snow.
Or no, we have to edit that because there probably is some snow.
There's probably some snow. I remember someone wearing like a lumberjack hat.
True, yeah.
And they do have an axe at some point, I'm pretty sure.
Is someone nude?
Maybe there might be one guy. Or maybe he's in a towel. I don't remember. But the point is, they break down and they don't know what to do. But they see this house, so they go to try to get help.
Yes.
And they go there, and they're talking to the people there, and the female lead, starts to notice something a bit off.
Something's a bit off with that family.
About these people.
Yeah.
But the boyfriend can't see it. Doesn't know what she's talking about.
He's happy as a clam.
Yeah. And it's just a few comments to her here and there, because also a running plot is that she's pregnant, but doesn't want to be, or is unsure about it.
And doesn't want to talk about it.
And doesn't want to talk about it, yeah. And then she starts to notice that people are explaining a lot of things to her.
Yeah, especially all the men.
All the men.
In a cottage or in a house. Explaining everything.
Anything that can be explained will be explained to her. I guess also we should actually quickly go over what mansplaining is.
Yeah.
People know at this point, but let's just give a quick...
For example, Ray explaining the film right here to me.
I was explaining it to the listeners, because I don't know if you know what an audio format is.
Trying to like include you into this podcast.
So what a podcast is, right? It's like two people with like microphones and they...
It's a man explaining something to the woman who know what is up.
Yeah. Explaining something that people already know what that thing is. And just assuming that they don't know what that thing is.
Yes.
Without, no checking of like, hey, do you know what this thing
is? Exactly.
Just, hey, here's the thing, I will explain thing.
Mm. My favorite, off topic, a little bit, my favorite mansplaining moment, one of the favorite ones, was when I talked about that I'm a cook. I would always like to say that I'm a chef, but chef is a position in restaurant, so that I am not, but I'm a restaurant cook. And I for example, teach how to make risotto.
Yeah.
I have these courses that I teach people how to make risotto. And this one comedian dude listened to that and then explained to me how to make a risotto. And I was like, thank you. Thank you so much.
A stand-up comedian.
Yes.
So I know who it is.
You know who it is?
No, I can guess, but like if they do stand-up, I'll know who it is. If you don't want to mention, I'll ask you later.
It's Catholic gossip podcast.
Yeah. On God. That's your favorite example of mansplaining, or just one of many?
Just one. That's top of my head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can also, again, like I said, I can think back to my life when I've explained stuff to people.
Oh, do you remember any good ones?
I have been, this is again more on God, I have been the guy asking someone about their band t-shirt.
Oh,
I have legitimately done that in my life when I was 18.
Were you like,
18.
Tell me three songs? No.
Yes. I did that unironically.
This is almost as bad as in the movie Helsinki Mansplaining Massacre, where this woman is the protagonist is pregnant, and one of the dudes are explaining pregnancy and pregnancy labor pains to the woman. Actually, the role is played by Vesa-Matti Loiri, which is a great side character there.
Yeah, and Vesa-Matti Loiri is very important to Finnish culture.
Absolutely.
I would say.
Yes.
In fact, there's probably at some point going to be a whole episode on Vesa-Matti Loiri.
I heard the screenwriter Ilja Rautsi talk about this. How did they get Vesa-Matti Loiri to be on that movie? Mm-hmm. And he said, they just asked.
Exactly. You don't you don't get.
Exactly. That's how I get everything, gotten everything in my life. I just ask.
Exact same. You just, like, people have said to me, oh, how did you get that gig?
I asked.
Yeah. Like, did you send an email to someone? No. Well, there's your problem.
Yeah.
You just ask people for stuff.
Exactly.
That yes, I 100% agree with that. And in the movie, so she's being mansplained to, and it's getting increasingly worse, and it's almost like a zombie movie.
Yeah.
Almost, because the boyfriend starts to be changed.
Yeah.
Turned, he starts explaining stuff to her.
There's this horde that's coming right at her explaining stuff.
There's a line which is like, you shouldn't be scared of giving birth. The pain is only natural.
Yeah, exactly. And then the massacre starts.
And then she gets super fed up and she finds a shotgun.
Yeah.
And the fun begins.
Yeah.
And she kills everybody.
Woohoo!
And finally, spoilers for a 15-minute film. Finally, she kills the boyfriend. Because he has now one of them. He has been turned. There's another woman in the house, it should be said, during the movie. And she has been so beaten down by the mansplaining that she is like almost Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
But she knows it's wrong because she tries to help the.
This is a nice metaphor for everything for women.
What? Can you explain the metaphor for
No.
us? But it is a good one.
It's a good one. It's there somewhere. Mm-hmm. I'm not sorry to take this bimbofication role. Like, there is symbolism.
There is.
Yeah. And you just have to look for it.
Exactly. It's not my job to.
No, it's not my job to educate you.
Yeah, exactly.
So do your own research.
I was thinking we should do a sequel to Helsinki.
Yeah.
It should be like a virus.
Yeah.
Like a sort of like a contagion type movie.
Yeah.
And it should be man spreading.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, but it's just a virus.
Of really
people
nice,
taking
really
up space.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And pitch that idea. Where's Ilja? Do you know Ilja Rautsi?
No.
Oh, someone get him on the phone.
Travis, call him.
Call him right now.
I'm on it.
Yeah.
Is it spread by the knees touching?
Exactly. That's how it spreads.
Yeah, good. Yeah. All right, are we splitting this three ways or?
Yeah. I think 80% to me.
80% to you, 20% to me, and Inka, good to have you on the show.
Yeah. And thanks to Inka Valimo. special thanks. No money.
Can I work at the catering?
So this Helsinki mansplaining massacre, do you think that was like a leading film to push the Finnish film direction in more of a exploratory macabre direction, or?
Well, there is not so many like Finnish horror films. There is, I think, when you search for example, Finnish horror films in Wikipedia, there's like 23 of them listed. So
okay,
from the 1915 to today, so there's not that many.
Yeah.
But so this is a kind of a new thing in Finnish culture, I think, interesting horror.
Which is crazy because you think this country would have horror films.
Yeah.
Like you would assume.
Exactly. But maybe the drama films with the naked dude and axe are in some way horror films.
Sure, true. Yes, the trauma of neglecting your family and a lot of these movies. But I would really think. The one that really surprised me, and I've said this before, but really, really surprised me was that there's no Finnish vampire movies.
True. Why not?
Like, you would think this is the perfect place.
For example, 30 Days of
Night. And Let the Right One In from Sweden.
Exactly. That is the same atmosphere and the same darkness happening here.
Zero. There's no Finnish vampire
movies.
Maybe
we can...
I've got an idea for one.
All right.
I'm not, that one I'm genuinely not saying out loud because I've pitched it to some people.
Oh, you're being serious. Yeah. It's not a joke. All right, yeah, all right. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, to seeing it on big screen.
I doubt it. No, I said I've tried to pitch it to people, multiple people. And they went,
I'm imagining you're trying to pitch it at the parties with a beer on your hand.
Yeah. You've seen me at parties.
Just pitching stuff. Yeah. Not a joke.
Nope. Again, you got to ask for stuff. We just talked about this. You just have to ask.
Yeah, for money. Anyway, about Finnish horror, there is some like elements that would suggest that we have this kind of culture. For example, I think Lordi, which is like a horror slash comedy, in way, their aesthetic. And they have a movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware?
I did not know that.
You did not?
I didn't. No.
Okay, it's called Dark Floors.
Dark Floors.
It came 2000 something after the Eurovision win.
Okay.
It's not a celebrated movie.
Sure.
But because Finnish horror films are quite rare, it was a thing that happened.
Okay.
And it were shown in theaters and everything.
Interesting. Do you, question for you being Finnish and a horror fan, when the horror as in Finnish, does it add any sort of layer of, like, not fear, but any layer of, like, realism? Because, like, if you watch an American horror film, you can have that level of attachment. Because it's like, well, this is happening in America or happening in wherever.
Mm.
Or, like, but when if it's in Finnish, does it add any layer of anything for you? Like, some sort of...
Well, I think when the film is really well made and it's not, like, a horror film about Thanksgiving, which is now a thing apparently, or stuff like that, which is really American thing, which I can't really relate. I don't know anything about Thanksgiving basically. But when the film is really well made and it's like universal subjects, which often are dealt in horror, I don't know. I don't feel attached from the subject. But of course, I think it's more of a novelty, something more interesting if it's like in a scenario that I recognize as a Finn, for example. Sure.
Yeah, because like Koputus is set in Mökki, in like a cabin, right?
But yeah, there is a lot of horror that happens in cabins, in woods.
But I get, that's true. I mean, Evil Dead set in a cabin. But like, I would say the cabin that's in Evil Dead, for example, like it doesn't resemble a Finnish cabin. It's not, I don't know, like, because in my memory it's not that's more American, like like log cabin out west sort of thing, rather than like,
I don't know, what cabins glasses have you been? Because in our cabin we have this like a basement of horror, like
the Necronomicon,
the things in the basement, and then you have to touch the book and then the evil like takes you. That's like a midsummer festival to us. Yeah.
And you also, your like cousin has a chainsaw for an arm.
Well, that's scary.
Like that was an unfortunate accident. That's nothing to do with the Necronomicon. It's in the cabin.
And who doesn't make love to a tree in a swamp?
Who can say? Actually, you know, when I was younger, on God, I went to the Finnish swamp and I pause wistfully.
This podcast is awkward. The awkwardness is a vibe here.
Yeah, for sure.
It's your thing.
It's Finnish.
I love it.
Finnish. That's
I feel
the thing.
Like, I feel cozy.
Yeah. Well, good. That's the aim. It's just a chat. It's not an interview. It's just talking about Finnish culture.
Yeah.
Which is getting fucked in a swamp by a tree. You said it, by the way.
I used the word lovemaking because this is on air.
Don't me when you brought it up. That's unfair. Don't set me up like that. That's just not on. That's my podcast. Illegal.
Yeah.
But also, I've asked you to bring a Finnish word or phrase to chat about. What have you brought for us today?
A phrase is that I really like,
mm-hmm.
and it goes along well with the horror theme that we have here. Because this is not a common phrase,
good.
But my grandma used to say this.
Right, okay.
I'm saying first in Finnish. Näsäviisaat kuolee persepystyssä maantieojaan.
Mm-hmm.
Smart asses will end up dead in a ditch with their asses up. Word position. This is my grandma.
Right.
Who used to say this when summers were being like...
Being a smart ass.
Yeah.
So what is it?
Yeah, there's a weird vibe there. It's like assault vibe.
Yeah, like you're going to kill them.
Obviously.
But why is their ass up?
I don't know.
And is their face down?
Just... Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
That is the way. I
like the
Samsung.
Samsung's success.
It reminds me. That also reminds me of an old Billy Connolly joke that was famous in the UK because it was on Parkinson and it made Billy Connolly famous overnight, which was a guy kills his wife and he buries her and he tells this guy at work, I killed my wife, and he's like, oh, okay. He's like, come see. But the ass is like above ground. He's like, why? Why is our ass above ground? He's like, well, you have to have somewhere to park your bike. That's the punchline, and that made him famous in the UK.
Great.
You can look up that clip. It's on Michael Parkinson, Billy Connolly.
I got everything from that joke from here. I don't probably need to see the original.
Yeah. Just a little bit of a caveat. I mean, it was in the 70s, I believe.
Yeah, this was in the 70s. Oh, yeah, this wasn't like last week.
Yes. Just because I saw Inca's face.
Like,
when you started with, well, it's just a joke. Man kills his wife. And Inca was like, wow, fucking straight in.
Yeah.
It's great.
And
I presume he wasn't like a dark, sick and twisted comedian.
Just being
the dude being on stage, being silly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because nowadays when you say jokes like that, you have to have like this, I do this fucked up stuff.
Yeah, you have to have this layer of like edgy irony almost.
Exactly.
And you have to use like you have to use that voice also.
Yeah, you have to be Anthony Jeselnik to do that.
Jeselnik, or you have to, again, because like I said, I've been watching Buffy.
Yeah.
When, spoilers for Buffy.
that's like a 30-year-old.
Yeah. 1997, I think it came out.
Yeah.
But when Angel turns into Bad Angel.
Yeah.
And jealous. Suddenly he starts using this weird voice. Because like he normally talks
edgy.
Normally. And then he's like, now I'm evil. And you're like just but, talk normal.
I would like to say people who haven't seen that, the voice is so much sexier than the one Ray just did. Sorry about
that. As normal Angel or Bad Angel?
Both.
Oh, yeah, both. Yes, very fair. But he suddenly uses like a weird, like, I'm an evil guy now voice.
Yeah.
And it's like,
but it's husky. It's dark voice.
Yeah, but
it's
like, but I'm talking about Buffy
hey,
now.
Hey, I watched that movie when I was a teenager, the series. I will always love Dark Angel.
And jealous.
Yes. Evil Angel.
Evil Angel.
Has my heart. The other one, the phrase that I like that can be used in different scenarios.
Great.
Saunan takana on tilaa. There is spare space behind the sauna, which refers to that probably like animals were killed behind the sauna.
Yep.
Or dogs or something.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah,
But animals. You can say it like in anyone. It's a threat.
Yeah.
Of course. But it's a really Finnish threat.
Yeah, you're going to take them behind the sauna. Yeah. It means you're going to kill them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I once was talking to someone and they were talking about their grandfather once found a bunch of kittens at the summer cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And he put them in a sack and smashed them with a hammer.
Oh, my God.
Behind the sauna.
Yeah.
So I guess that's where that comes from.
Yeah,
but but the weirdest thing was when this conversation, a lot of the other Finns were like, yes. Like, this is a normal thing.
I love your Finnish impersonation.
Yeah.
Finnish
impersonation.
Impersonation, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, just like, noni.
Yeah, noni.
Do you know what the British version of that is? My granddad put a cat in a bin and drowned it.
Yes. Yes.
Cat in a bin?
Yeah.
Not in a sack.
No, bin. So we're talking a big wheelie bin, big dustbin. Popped a cat. Well, you filled it with water. Popped the cat in.
Like getting out like a nice jacuzzi thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. So you think, oh, it's like a capybara being in a little thing, like a little orange bobbing around. It's a nice little spa treatment for the cat. It's not. You put a paving slab over the top, and sadly, the cat.
This is a dog episode.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that was your phrase, was kill someone and that someone else will be killed for being a smartass.
It was my grandma's favorite line.
Oh, it's her favorite line? Is there anything else that she used to say a lot? Like, what was her second favorite line?
Like, I love you, you're a great kid.
Yeah. Weird that she said it in English as well. It's really weird. I also asked you if there was anything about Finnish culture that you don't like, that you wish you could maybe get rid of.
Yeah, I don't like that you can't really like make a scene about yourself being too pushy or being too flamboyant. And it can be anything. It can be like wearing a red shirt. So it doesn't have to be like, look at me, a musical on the street. It can be like, oh, that dude has a white shirt and we all have blue shirts.
Yeah. What that guy's wearing a different hat.
Yeah.
What an asshole.
Exactly.
What? Who does he think he is?
And of course, because we are a terrible nation, it's probably like, oh, he's gay.
Is that still that's a thing?
Some.
Well, of course, it's like better probably than in the 90s.
Yeah.
Because I mean, that would happen in the UK too. Like if you wore something that was pink.
Yeah.
For example, they'd be like, well, must be gay.
Yeah. And let's again, beat him up.
Was there a thing here also in Finland, like if you wear an earring, if a guy wears an earring in the wrong ear, that on one ear is gay and one ear is fine? Nope.
yeah, I think it was. Mm. But wearing earrings. In general, I think so. But yeah, there is this, of course, the gay culture, there is different clothing codes and stuff like that.
Sure.
But like some of the codes were just invented by the kids in the 90s. Like if you have like this earring or a string of long hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, code.
Yeah, then you must.
You must be.
You must be signaling to.
Yes.
That you're. As a, different somehow.
As a, like a 5-year-old.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So the aspect of culture that you wish you could get rid of is
You could make a scene of yourself. You could bit pushy and that's fine.
Yeah, and people not to just judge that, push it away and be like, I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah.
Like you can do stuff. You can be yourself. You can advocate for yourself. You can stand out even a little bit.
Yeah. That's you can allowed. Stand out. Yeah, that's exactly.
You don't need to blend in to the crowd. Mm. You don't need to just be anonymous. You can, I'm here, hey, I can do this thing.
Yeah.
Maybe I can do this thing for you. Mm. You can pitch at parties if you want to.
No need.
But finally, because I didn't grow up here, I moved here when I was 24, so I don't have any childhood memories from Finland. So do you have any childhood memories that we can all share?
Yes. I wished you had kurkkumopo, a tiny moped.
Yes.
Shaped like a cucumber. Do you want to see a picture?
Have a picture. Always for good you. In an audio format. Aha, yeah, those things. Yeah.
That is incredible. Just for so to describe it, it is, well, I mean, you described it pretty well, but I wouldn't have said it was a cucumber.
Well, the name is kurkkumopo, cucumber moped.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like a little, like for kids, like a little ride-on, push-along car in the shape of a cucumber.
And it's also a person. It has a eyes and a nose and antennas.
As all cucumbers do.
Yes, as all cucumbers do. But it's cute.
And so what's your memory about?
I had one, but we were poor when I was a kid.
Okay.
I was a kid in the 90s. We had a recession. Mm-hmm. Then we didn't have any money.
Sure.
All my clothes and toys, or most of them, were from like cousins and stuff like that. And I got this cucumber moped from my cousin, but it was so used that the eyes and the antennas and everything were off.
Oh, no.
I loved it still. Yeah.
Did you name it?
No. No, it's just kurkumapa.
Not like Kevin kurkumapa or Kai.
No need. Anyway, but the image had a sort of a renaissance lately, because there's also these keychains and earrings you can buy that are shaped.
So it's like a really nostalgic
thing. It's super nostalgic for the kids in the 80s and 90s, I think.
So like millennial nostalgia.
Yes, absolutely.
Kurkumapo.
You can buy like earrings shaped of kurkumapo in like a rainbow or other like pride flag colors. It's a gay icon as well nowadays.
It's a gay icon.
Yes.
Is there anything else that shapes like kurkumapo?
What are you asking me?
Is it a
this podcast?
Is it a kurkumapo dildo?
All right.
That was the joke.
Oh, yeah. I'm so innocent. I don't even like.
Yeah.
Hear these things.
Yeah. I believe that is quite true.
That is quite true. I often don't see the. I do like double entendre jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a right word? I don't know.
Yes.
But often when someone else tells me those, I'm like, huh?
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You merely perceive single entendre.
Yes. Exactly.
But thank you very much for coming. Hey, it's been excellent. Thank you so much. Is there anything you want to plug? Anything you want to talk about? Where can we find you performing? Where's your book? What's happening with your podcast? Please plug away.
Well, everything that I'm doing can be found in my Instagram at Inka Valima. I'm gonna do some more bimbo content with Taika Mannila and some video form, and we are in the process of making it, and it's going to be glorious. So stay tuned.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for coming. It's been a pleasure. And see you again soon.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. See you again soon. Bye.
You have been listening to Ray Zambino Is Finished. You can follow Ray on the socials at Ray Zambino, where you can find dates for his tour show, The Man, Myth and Legend. Thank you to our friends at Sawmill Stand-Up Club for hosting the recordings. This episode was produced and edited by myself, Travis Glossop. The series exec producer is Fathi Ahmed. Ray Zambino Is Finished is a fun production.